We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
If you've got a military, first responder, emergency medical, or government service background, GovX.com is for you. You stepped up to serve our country and communities, and GovX delivers unbeatable deals that you've earned.
GovX.com is the only site built exclusively to honor your service. Members save on epic brands and the gear they need for their on- and off-duty lives. You'll get incredible savings on tickets to live sports events, theme parks, and other entertainment. You can even save on travel, hotels, rental cars, cruises, and more. See if you qualify. Visit GovX.com. It's easy and totally free.
Use code BUCK in the shopping cart to get an extra $15 off your first order. GovX, savings for those who serve.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in. Oh, boy. Chaos, chaos, chaos. I feel like that could be the story that we begin with for the next 6 months as we move closer to November 5th. The Trump trial underway. So all of you know, I have not yet been arrested. If you missed yesterday's show, CNN says that I've committed felonies and should be arrested. Maybe we'll play that audio for you a little bit later in the program. But I want to update you with everything that's going on right now, which is, I would say, remarkably chaotic, even with the Trump standard of chaos that often applies. So let me give you like a rundown of what is transpiring as we speak. Julie Kelly is going to join us at 1:30 Eastern. Right now, the Supreme Court is hearing a case on whether or not half of the charges that Jack Smith brought related to January 6th on Donald Trump can be applied or not to his actions on that day. And this gets into the weeds a little bit, and we will be talking about this in detail with her, but you may have heard us discussing it for some time. Essentially, prosecutors tried to use a corporate statute that was passed as a part of Sarbanes-Oxley that was designed to restrict corporate governance malfeasance. And they are trying to use that to apply it to people who walked into the Capitol on January 6th by saying that they were obstructing an official proceeding. And the court is having to analyze whether or not that has been appropriately applied to the January 6th defendants. An early spoiler alert, this morning, Buck, I was listening and reading about that argument. I don't think this is going to be close. I think it's going to be at least 6-3 that they cannot use these statutes, and it may go all the way out to potentially some of the liberal justices as well, who have evinced a great deal of skepticism also. We'll get Julie Kelly's read. Have you seen this? I mean, I think if they were to go 7-2 or something in that magnitude to strike this down, it would be a huge blow to Jack Smith and all of the Democrats that have tried to use this January 6th statute.
Well, I also think that it goes into a larger framework, a bigger, it's evidence in a bigger trial, if you will, that how many times can they try to use the law against Trump and they have to get slapped down? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at all the different prosecutors, all the different efforts to destroy Trump that we are finding the system itself is saying
is outrageous, meaning they've tried to abuse the system to destroy Trump, and then people have had to step in at the Supreme Court level, for example, and say, guys, what are you doing? That's not constitutional. That's not lawful. And the best example is the 9-0 of what Colorado was trying to do, and then Maine dabbled in for a second of removing Trump from the ballot. To be very clear, the most left-wing justices, I think, in the history of the Supreme Court, okay, and certainly among the most anti-Trump judges you'll find anywhere, went along with the majority, and they said, guys, you can't just say, we think he did a thing that hasn't been proven in court, and we're going to remove him from the ballot, and he can't be president. You can't do that, right? I mean, you're effectively overriding federal elections. Clay, if this happens now, to your point about the Supreme Court argument this morning, if that gets struck down, they will have abused another statute to pile up against not just Trump, but his supporters. Their abuse isn't just a matter of opinion. Their abuse of the law is becoming increasingly a matter of fact over and over again.
And this is also important. They are trying now. This has just happened. The prosecutors have filed a motion to hold Trump in contempt for violating the gag order that was put in place for him in the Manhattan criminal trial. Trump has already weighed in this morning, and I listened and I was like, wow, this is what he said outside of the courtroom as he entered this morning. So this is a couple of hours ago, I think, now. Listen.
We have a judge who shouldn't be on this case. He's totally conflicted. But this is a trial that should never happen. It should have been thrown out a long time ago. If you look at Jonathan Turley, Andy McCarthy, all great legal scholars, there's not one that we've been able to find that said this should be a trial. I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning. This is all coming from the Biden White House, because the guy can't put two sentences together. He can't campaign. They're using this in order to try and win an election, and it's not working that way. It's working the opposite way.
Okay, so that is Trump this morning. He also posted on Truth right before he went into the courtroom, Buck. This conflicted Trump-hating judge won't let me respond to people that are on TV lying and spewing hate all day long. He's running roughshod over my lawyers and legal team. The New York system of, quotation marks, justice is being decimated by critics from all over the world. I want to speak, or at least be able to respond. Election interference, rigged unconstitutional trial, take off the gag order. Now, Buck, here's my question for you. Are they going to put him in jail over this? Because I think that's where this is headed. I think this judge wants Trump in jail for contempt, and I don't think it's crazy to think it's going to happen. I think Trump may want it to happen.
Well, there are some parts of this that are legal analysis and parts of this that become very obviously political analysis, and I know they're intertwined as well. I know we get this question all the time, and it's funny because I don't know anybody who has an answer to it. How do you incarcerate somebody who has lifetime 24/7 Secret Service protection?
We started asking this years ago.
We've been looking at this for a long time. Now, there is precedent for, taking a person and putting them in, I think they call it administrative segregation, where, you know, for example, if a cop gets put in like state prison, they sometimes will move because, you know, maybe
they need protective custody, basically, from the other members of the jail.
Yeah. And you could do something like that, but you would have to have Secret Service. Like, I think Trump might, I understand this is crazy. Can I just preface this? I know what we're saying here is crazy, but we're in a crazy time, everyone. I think there's a situation where maybe they would, because if they hold them in contempt, what is it going to be, 48 hours or something, right?
Get him in cuffs and they walk, they perp walk.
Well, that's
him.
What I'm saying.
That's the question.
They want to break the seal. They want to establish, just like, remember, the Bragg trial was the first one to bring an indictment, which I always thought was significant because, yeah, it was flimsy, but they knew that there was no process by which it would likely be overturned or stopped in New York. So they wanted to set the precedent, and all the elements came in. Clay, I think they could put him, I think they think, I'll put it that way, they think they could end up putting him in an administrative sec. By the way, if we have somebody from like Bureau of Prisons or, you know, New York State Bureau of Prisons or just in general, let us know if you think there is some precedent. My sense is they would have to shut down like a wing of a holding facility, and then there'd have to be Secret Service there to protect him, but he'd have to be inside of a cell for a couple of days, and that's what they would, they can't, I don't think that, I mean, the New York State can't say you no longer have Secret Service protection. They can't do that.
Okay, so that leads to, which is crazy, there aren't a lot of precedents for this. Okay,
wait,
so
hold on.
That leads...
There's no precedent,
yeah,
right? There's no
precedent. I mean, there are precedents for famous people being held in contempt of court. Never someone with Secret Service protection that
Never
I'm aware of.
Never a former and likely yes. future president of the United States, though.
So here is my question for you, then, as a part of that. Is this Trump as... I've used this analogy because I remember growing up watching it. Do you know Br'er Rabbit at all, Buck? Do you remember the Br'er Rabbit stories?
No, okay. We should have, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what percentage of people out there will remember this. I'm in Georgia, by the way, which is where I think the Joel Chandler Harris, Br'er Rabbit stories originated. They were later made into cartoons, all this stuff. Br'er Rabbit, and before they decided that Splash Mountain was racist at Disney World, Br'er Rabbit was the star of Splash Mountain, if any of you have been on the Splash Mountain ride at Disney. Okay. Br'er Rabbit would always say, don't throw me in the briar patch. Whatever you do, don't throw me in the briar patch. Is Donald Trump daring Marchand, this judge, as well as the larger Democrat Party apparatus, to put him in jail? Because in the same way that the mugshot was a huge benefit to Trump, is him getting put in jail for contempt of court a huge political win for him? Leave aside the legal for right now.
I do think so, especially on this, because even people who are casual observers of the news, which is most people, because most people are, you know, we have a hyper attuned and informed audience.
Correct.
Most of America, as much as I love America, people have other things to do than watch the news. Even if you, or watch much of the news, and they get their news from bad places in a lot of contexts too. I think that that Donald Trump in a cell, the reason being he was held in contempt by a judge, the reason being he's speaking out against a trial that has to do with a business administrative accounting error. That's
right.
All this is. That is what we're talking about here. I think that any normal person who has not been just steeped in Trump derangement syndrome would say to that, we can't have this in our country. And I think that's why the polls are all showing what they're showing right now, Clay. That's the truth.
Yeah. And this is why, I mean, look, things cut through. I think what you said is a good point. What percentage of people do you think have seen the Trump mugshot photo? What percentage of American voters? 100%? I think it's almost impossible that you would not have seen the Trump mugshot, picture, even if you're not paying attention to the news on a day-to-day basis.
You mean, I think if you could name the current vice president, you've seen the mugshot photo. You know what I mean? Like, I think if you have any familiarity with
politics,
you think
the mugshot
even more than that?
Photo, then okay, can name
maybe.
The vice president. I think
yeah.
It's almost 100% of voters would have seen that photo. My point is, almost 100% of voters, I'm saying voters because, you know, 40% of people are not voting. I think almost 100% of voters will see if Trump is arrested. They may not pay attention to the results of the trial. They may not be following on a day-to-day basis like we are. And to me, I think it's highly likely that it would work to his favor. And I wonder how much political calculus, in the same way we've talked for a long time now, ever since the raid on Mar-a-Lago in, what, August of 22, we have said there's a two-tier story here, the legal and the political, and they're intertwined in a way that we've never seen before. Something can be smart legally and really poor decision politically, and vice versa.
And also, I think something to remember about where the Democrats are and the anti-Trump machinery, they thought all along that these trials, that these prosecutions would destroy Donald Trump. They have no choice but to see all of this through. To
right.
withdraw all of it at this point, or to withdraw the efforts, to say, all right, you know, the election's coming up, we're going to defer or delay, would be essentially to admit that they had made some political calculation error. So they have to go all the way with this. And I think that in New York, what you're seeing is if they brought this trial, and I'm going to say, I mean, they did this to Trump's corporation accountant Alan Weisselberg, who's gone to prison, and they just sent Peter Navarro to prison. He's serving a sentence right now for not testifying to Congress because he's associated with Trump. If they did this to anyone, Clay, it would be an outrage that they're doing it to the person who is leading in the presidential nomination contest right now, according to every single polling company in the United States. It's outrageous beyond words. But they have, what are they going to do? They won't stop. So they're going to see this all the way through. I don't see a way around it. I mean, I think that, and locking Trump up, please, if you worked in prisons and you have some idea of how they could do this, I don't even, you know, what would they do? How would this go? Let us know, because I'd be very curious to hear it. I think the only answer is they would have to have the Secret Service come in, clear a wing, shut down the wing. And it would almost be like, you remember when Pablo Escobar got to build his own prison? Kind of be a little bit like that. Because, like, your guys would be running the thing, and nobody would really be, and I don't know.
Also, Buck, he has to be in court. So I don't even know how they can jail him, because the judge has already said that he has to be present in court, even if it means that he misses his son's graduation, potentially. So if he gets put in court, it further delays the process of the trial. I mean, gets put in jail, it further delays the process of the trial. I don't even know. I this is fascinating. I don't even know how this plays out. But yeah, to your point, 800-282-2882, if you have some theory based on your knowledge of the New York court system, what this would be like or how it would work, I would actually be fascinated to hear.
Yeah, we're gonna dive into this, and I think I just want to prepare all of you. It's gonna get crazier. It's gonna get crazier.
Yes.
We have not seen peak crazy
yet. We're just touching the tip of the iceberg right now of the crazy that's coming.
That is correct. Yes. All right. 800-282-2882. And you know, this past year, the dedicated staff of people at Preborn's network of clinics saved, are you ready for this? 58,000 babies. Thanks in large part to your generosity and your dedication to this nonprofit. You know, we talk a lot about the laws here and how do we work with in this state and save as much life as possible. I mean, that's a worthy cause, and the pro-life movement is focused in on that and doing what they can. But you know, there's also what Preborn does, where it's just helping to create that bond between mother and baby in the womb, so that mother, even if she's very troubled by the pregnancy, wasn't expecting it, worried about the finances, she says, I'm going to give my child life. That's what Preborn does. It helps create that incredibly powerful bond between mother and child, and then it is more likely that mom is going to make the choice for life. That's a critical part of the pro-life mission, and Preborn is doing it day in and day out. One woman who visited the Preborn clinics was Katrina. Now, she was thinking that she was tending toward life for her unborn baby, but people around her were pressuring her to get an abortion. But by God's grace, she was led to a Preborn network clinic where she was given a free ultrasound. When she saw that baby on sonogram, she was amazed to see the baby's movements. But then she heard the heartbeat, and that was it. In that moment, she realized there was a miracle growing inside her womb, and Katrina's little baby was born soon thereafter. Every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles just like this one. An ultrasound cost is $28. That can be the difference between life and death for a child. All you have to do is dial #250, say the keyword baby, that's #250, say baby, or you can donate online, visit preborn.com/buck, that's preborn.com/BUCK, sponsored by Preborn.
Making sense in an insane world. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right, hour two, Clay and Buck kicks off now. Everybody, thank you for being with us. Talking about the Trump trial in the first hour. We'll get back to the latest with that for sure. Also, some drama up on Capitol Hill. Marjorie Taylor Greene and a couple of others now are thinking about replacing Speaker Johnson. Meet the new speaker, same as the old speaker. I don't want to say we told you so, but we kind of told you. A lot of you agreed, some of you disagreed, but now we see changing out the speaker when you have a razor-thin majority in the House to begin with isn't going to give you all the things you want. We'll talk about it, though, and there's some interesting ideas and options out there. To be sure. I think it's an interesting debate. Nothing else allows people to vent some of their irritation with the Rhino Caucus, such as it is. But we mentioned this story to you. I wanted to return to this one for a second. NPR, which is best known for being, I think, the radio station you hear in the background that is intended to help make you fall asleep. It's really good. You know, they all kind of talk like this, and they have this very sort of, you know, mellow way of speaking, and they just go, and you know, you kind of get dazed into it. I haven't listened to a lot of NPR. Occasionally I'm in a car, somebody has it on. NPR has suspended that editor we mentioned who claimed left-wing bias at the outlet and said that they had lost America's trust. NPR suspension here of this guy after he had a scathing online essay embracing a, because NPR has embraced a progressive worldview, prompting, quote, this is from CNN, Clay's favorite place, last 24 hours.
Yes.
They want him suspended. They want Clay locked up. That's what we know about CNN, prompting fierce right-wing backlash, calling for the defunding of the public radio network. And yeah, they got into some of this. I have to say, I'm not surprised they did this at all. I didn't really process at first that this guy still worked for NPR. At some level, though, I think, Clay, one of the lessons here is for people that wake up and recognize, oh, I don't work for a news organization. I work for a propaganda entity that does the work of the left and the Democrat Party. They know that, and they expect their employees to know that. And the whole game is everybody knows, but nobody's allowed to talk about it. This is true, by the way, at CNN. This is true at ABC News. This is true at all of these places, New York Times. So did he really think he was going to get away with it? What do you make of this?
So I look at this in the context of his name, by the way, is Yuri Berliner, I think, which sounds like a made up name. But Yuri Berliner found that there were 76 registered Democrats in the Washington, D.C. NPR office, and there were no Republicans. And he raised that as an issue because they claim that they care about the overall fairness of their doctrine. So my first thought is, we have to legitimately get to the case, Buck. We're not one single dollar of taxpayer money, direct or indirect, goes to fund NPR. If they can work in the marketplace, and if they can make a living, as all businesses do, more power to them. The government doesn't fund Clay and Buck. We stand alone as a capitalistic venture based on you guys listening and sponsorship dollars and everything else. So this to me is number one. Number two, the new woman that they hired, I don't know if you've seen some of her tweets, but even by NPR standards, this woman is crazy. This woman's name is, this is the person who's suspending Yuri Berliner. Her name is Catherine Mayer, or Marr, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. She tweeted this: lots of jokes about leaving the U.S., and I get it. But as someone with cis white mobility privilege, I'm thinking I'm staying and investing in ridding ourselves of this specter of tyranny. So I didn't even know that cis white mobility privilege existed. I guess that
question
means if you're white and you can walk. I
was
going to
ask you this.
Think.
Is it economic mobility or physical mobility we're talking about here? Is it you have the financial means to leave a place, or is it you have the actual physical ability to walk out of a place, as in being more mobile? Do we know?
Oh, that's a great question. You may be right. I didn't even think about it as an economic way of analyzing things. I thought it because I tied this in with, you know, they did away with the use of the disabled list in Major League Baseball. You knew this, right?
Yes.
They now have the, I think it's the injured list, because they found that the disabled list was considered to be not respectful enough of people with disabilities. So I believe they've changed the name in Major League Baseball to the injured list. Here's a couple of Catherine Marr's other, it's a good question. I don't know. Maybe some of our woke translators out there know the answer to that. Here's a couple of her other tweets, Buck. I do wish Hillary wouldn't use the language of boy and girl. It's erasing language for non-binary people. She tweeted, these are her tweets. This is the person who's in charge of NPR. I'm an unalloyed progressive and supporting Hillary this time around. She also said the best part of Arizona GOTV is my Biden grandpa hat. So she's walking around in a Biden for president with one of those massive N95 masks on her. These are things that she's tweeted. So this woman is far left wing.
She's
and
a communist.
I saw this.
The communist is running NPR. Yes.
I saw this not only in the specter of this guy gets suspended for telling the truth, which is NPR is a rigged news organization, but that he's being suspended by, to your point, effectively a left-wing communist who is ostensibly arguing that she is representative of the American public. No American taxpayer dollars. Yesterday was tax day. I cut checks. I was not happy to cut. I bet you did too. I know a lot of you out there listening did too. The idea that any dollars that I send in would go to support NPR in any way, direct or indirect, is fundamentally unacceptable. It's time to truly cut them off.
It's fascinating too that the people that are so obsessed with diversity and inclusion, just as words, we all know what that means. It's really just, race-based Marxism.
Cosmetic diversity.
It's cosmetic diversity, right? But put that aside for a second. The people that are obsessed with diversity and inclusion think it's okay that NPR, which does get some public funding, those say, it's not a lot. Okay, well, it's not a lot. Why do you get any? Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You know, how about we get, the Clay and Buck show, the government just kick us like, 5-10 mil. You know, it's no big deal. Just kick us 5 or 10 mil. It's not a lot, right? I mean, why not? 87 registered Democrats, 0 Republicans working at NPR. How can anyone think that a news organization that does not even feel the need to have a token Republican, right? Doesn't even feel the need to have, hey, like, we hate Bob who sits, or Bill who sits in the corner and is our like crazy right winger, but at least we know what half the country thinks if we talk to them. They don't even want that. They want like a Maoist cultural revolution level purity in that newsroom. They want it to be only people that all agree and see the country the same way, knowing that half the country thinks, I don't think people that work at NPR are like, have like difference of opinion. I think that they're a lot of times delusional and mentally ill. Like, I think there's something wrong with them. I think they have anxiety disorders that they actually think are political positions. And that's where we are as a country. So I just think we need to be honest about it.
And think about how much self-selecting is going on if an organization that has as many employees as NPR is 100% has Democrats. And this is why the diversity and inclusion people to me are full of it. The only diversity that matters is diversity of thought. And what they're doing is using cosmetic diversity as a cover to have a lot of people who look different and think the exact same. How does that benefit any organization?
Well, and the way diversity and inclusion actually functions at institutions that are considered elite, at least in terms of, it's hard to get hired or hard to get admitted, thinking about schools in that context, right? The truth of a Harvard, and NPR is not Harvard by any means, but similar idea, same mentality at work. The truth of an NPR is they think that there is more to be gained from the perspective that you get of having a white, let's say a white guy whose, parents, went to Cornell or something and were doctors, sitting next to a black guy whose parents went to Dartmouth and are doctors. They think that there's diversity there, but they don't think that there's diversity if you have somebody who grew up, in rural Eastern Kentucky, really poor.
Yep.
They don't think of that as diversity. They don't think of that as expanding perspective. So, two people that would have lived very similar lives and often share very similar perspectives, but are different, ethnicities. That somehow to them brings different perspective to the conversation that's far more valuable than somebody who, for example, grew up really poor and disadvantaged and somebody who grew up really rich. Like they don't view that as necessary at all.
And this guy, Yuri Berliner, is a Democrat. So he's just not leftist enough for the Democrats. It's not like he's a Republican who was pointing out the flaws that he saw here. He's just somewhat of an honest liberal, not a progressive, an honest liberal who looks around and says, we don't really have a marketplace of ideas here, and we're failing as a result.
I think of ideologies in this way, and this has been true of communists all along, is they want to infiltrate an organization, a country, an entity, and then they need uniformity. They need to control the entire thing because their ideas stink and their results are horrible. And so if there is any other approach that could be at hand, they will not have power. So this is why they need absolutism. They need uniformity. And I've said, it reminds me, I went and took my little nephew and my family to we had an amazing alligator tour. One of the big problems in the Everglades is they have there's a bunch of different invasive species, but a big one is the boa constrictors, right? They've got like pythons, Burmese pythons, boa constrictors. and they eat a lot of the native wildlife. And the thing is, they're not trying to establish a balance in the ecosystem. They're gonna like kill all the native species, birds and different things, and because they will take over. That's why they're an invasive species. Lionfish, the same thing on the reefs here. That's why they go out. They hunt these. You ever see those things? They're crazy looking lionfish.
Or the carp up in the Midwest that have gotten into so many of the lakes and rivers all over the Midwest to take over and dominate this invasive species from Asia.
Communists ideologically are an invasive species. They do not seek. This is why it's so fascinating to talk about like diversity and inclusion and all this stuff, whatever. They actually do not seek parity, representation, or anything else. They want ideological across-the-board conformity, which is why the New York Times, NPR, look at the same story, Clay, that plays out in newsroom after newsroom over the last 20 years. No, somehow, it never is the case that they go, oh, my gosh, I woke up one day and the Washington Post was so right-wing and only far-right MAGA hat-wearing. We don't think that way. They, the communist Democrat, think in terms of it can only be my way, and the existence of other ideas is a threat to the existence of my ideas. It's all or nothing with them. And that's what you see at NPR, and that's what you see at campus after campus, news organization after news organization, and now, unfortunately, company after company.
And it ain't getting better. And it's interesting that when someone speaks out, and a lot of people say, you know what, he's right, they immediately try to silence him. And that's happening lots of places, probably in your employment offices out there. You've seen things like this happen.
And they don't even feel the need to address the underlying critique, which is obviously a problem. You have a news organization that only has Democrats and that's getting public funding. That should be an embarrassment. No, the problem is that he talked about it. Not allowed to talk about it. You shut your mouth. You do the work of the Communist Party. Call yourself a good, loyal, progressive Democrat and you go forward. All right, look, if you're a firearms enthusiast like I am, or you have one in your life, I want to tell you about this incredible firearms manufacturer, Bear Creek Arsenal. This should be your new firearms manufacturer of choice. Veteran-owned and operated, based right here in Sanford, North Carolina. Bear Creek Arsenal makes high-quality firearms at an incredible value. I mean, I know some of you out there probably have ARs that you paid, I don't know, $1,000, maybe $1,500 for. You can get a Bear Creek Arsenal rifle that is every bit as good. And I was out at the range testing them out this weekend. I had my most expensive AR, which is crazy expensive, and my Bear Creek Arsenal. Bear Creek Arsenal is every bit as good of a tool, every bit as good of a firearm, and it's a fraction of the price. I'm telling you, when you see the value, the craftsmanship, the precision of Bear Creek Arsenal, you're going to love it. Amazing. Pistols, gear, rifles, go check it out for yourself. Bear Creek Arsenal. .com/buck. That's the website. Go to bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. Use my name Buck as your promo code. Get 10% off your first order. That's bearcreekarsenal.com/buck and use promo code Buck for 10% off.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, making sense in an insane world.
We're joined by our friend Julie Kelly. Please check out her Substack, Declassified with Julie Kelly. And, Julie, appreciate you being with us. Let's dive right into it. Fisher v. United States. Supreme Court heard oral arguments today. Before we get into where you think the judges are going, can you just give us background as to what's at issue here and why it's such a big deal, not just for Trump, but for a lot of J6 defendants?
Right. So this relates to the government's use, DOJ's use of 1512C2, obstruction of an official proceeding statute. This was passed in the wake aftermath of the Enron Arthur Anderson scandal. It has to do with evidence tampering or document shredding, as we saw in that case. What the DOJ has done for the first time ever is weaponize that statute to criminalize political dissent, and charge now roughly 350 January 6 protesters with this felony offense, punishable by up to 20 years in prison. It finally, 3 years later, has made it to the Supreme Court and oral arguments. Joseph Fisher was one of these defendants charged. The district court judge, Carl Nichols, is the only one who dismissed this count against him, and the DOJ appealed that, which is how now we got to the Supreme Court oral arguments today.
Okay, Julie, I listened to part of this. I saw the questions. I wasn't able to listen to every minute like you were because you were inside of this courtroom. But I have been in the Supreme Court before and been able to forecast by watching and listening and seeing body language and everything else what I thought was likely. Based on what I saw, I see this as a 6-3 at worst win that would strike down the use of these statutes. Do you agree or disagree with that? How would you assess your read of the justices' questions and where their opinions may lie as a result?
So just to clarify, I wasn't in the courtroom today.
Oh, my bad.
No, that's okay. Fortunately, you can cover all of these proceedings on the Supreme Court website and also C-SPAN, and it's just easier to do it that way. I will tell you, I was a little worried, I think, and disappointed at first with Fisher's attorney's presentation. I didn't think it was as strong as it needed to be, and the questions were tough as to the two different parts of the statute that are now in question. But I sort of agree. It could be 6-3. It might be 5-4. Amy Coney Barrett, again, seemed a little bit unclear as to her position, which might be fine. But look, the idea that you can take an entire code of the U.S. Criminal Code, 1512, which only has to do with tampering with evidence or witnesses in judicial proceedings, and clip out this subsection and set this aside from everything else to make it sound that official proceeding, which is used throughout 1512, meaning a judicial proceeding, not a function of Congress, to carve that out and not only now take the novel approach of using it to congressional proceedings, but of course only apply it to those people involved in the events of January 6th, which, as you guys know, this became quite clear during the discussion today.
Because actually, Julie, can we jump in here real quick? Because we wanted to play for everyone to hear Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch. This is cut 28, dealing with exactly what you're talking about, which is, oh, so only in this congressional instance is obstruction a problem. Play it.
Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
The actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference. We'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly, and this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also, but we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
So mostly peaceful protests that actually obstructs and impedes an official proceeding for an indefinite period would not be covered?
Not necessarily. We would just have to have the evidence of intent. And that's a
They intend to do it, all right.
Yeah, I just think he nuked their whole argument here. I don't know how they get around this. There's absolutely no legal basis to... She's saying, oh, well, corrupt mens rea or something. Yeah, they're obstructing. They want to obstruct, and they're obstructing. Well, really, it seems to me, Julie, what she's saying is, well, if, you know, it's climate change protesters, we like them, so we're not going to throw them in prison for 20 years.
That's exactly what she was saying, and I'll take this a step further. I just emailed last week the spokeswoman for the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, the federal prosecutor handling now 1,400-plus J6 cases, and I asked her, have any of the pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel demonstrators who have done the same sort of conduct over the past 6 months, especially in Washington, D.C., and unlawfully entering Capitol buildings and disrupting Senate hearings, have they faced any federal charges, including obstruction of an official proceeding? And she told me no, that all of these cases are being handled by the local D.C. prosecutor, which means they will be local offenses. So I was a little surprised that Elizabeth Freiligor was not better prepared to answer the selective prosecution angle of 1512C2 and the potential slippery slope, which the justices seemed concerned about, that if you carve this out and turn this into a felony punishable by 20 years up to prison for someone screaming during, a proceeding of the Supreme Court or a Senate confirmation hearing or anything we've seen, especially the past 6 months. But she's saying, oh, no, that won't apply. And they're asking, well, why not? Well, I just don't think it will. That's
okay,
not going to satisfy the inquiring minds of the justices.
Julie, as always, you're doing an incredible job covering this. And I have to give you credit. Years ago, you started raising this as a potential issue, and I think a lot of people shot you down with, oh, there's never going to be any impact on this. And now it seems likely that the Supreme Court is going to strike down, I think, prosecutions under this statute. If we are correct about that, and in June, the Supreme Court issues an opinion, you said maybe 5-4, 6-3, I think you would agree that it's likely that they are going to strike it down. What is the impact then? Where do we go from there?
Well, thank you for saying that. That's why today was so gratifying, because I have been covering this for over 3 years and hearing from, more importantly, the defendants and their families and what this obstruction felony charge has destroyed their lives and families and bankrupted them. So what it will mean for them, they will get to go back and say that the Supreme Court has reversed the DOJ, Matthew Graves, the D.C. U.S. attorney, and 17 judges on the D.C. District and Circuit Court who upheld this count even when they knew, understood how vague it was, how broad it was, how selectively it has been applied, and the slippery slope that it creates. These defendants now will get long-awaited exoneration, and hopefully they will have this charge reversed. They will be released from prison. They'll have the charge dropped. They won't face prison time. And this will represent a huge black eye to the D.C. federal court system and the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C. and DOJ for abusing this law to, yes, create a set of political prisoners who only have been subjected to this felony when no one else has. And as Elizabeth Freiligar said today, no one else will be. Just J6ers.
Julie, how does it apply to Trump? So we know that they're trying to still rush through this case. I believe this would knock, in theory, two of the four charges that Jack Smith is trying to bring against Trump out of the contemplation, right? What would that mean as you see it for that trial in the event that we're right and this ruling comes down? Because to make it like kind of Trump specific, I believe I'm correct that two of the four charges against Trump for January 6th related charges in D.C. are these aspects that are being examined.
You're exactly right. So this has great jeopardy to Jack Smith's criminal indictment in Washington against Donald Trump, which of course is now indefinitely postponed until the Supreme Court renders an opinion on presidential immunity. Those hearings are next Thursday, by the way, for people who want to tune in. But this does jeopardize his indictment, and it should. If the Supreme Court comes back and they need to very clearly say any congressional proceeding, including the events of January 6th, does not apply to the meaning of official proceeding in the entirety of 1512, including 1512 C1 and C2. And this has to do with destruction of evidence impairment, document shredding, et cetera. So if they come back and they say that January 6th is not an official proceeding as it relates to 1512, then I don't see how Jack Smith continues to keep those two counts in his four-count indictment. There are other ways the Supreme Court could hedge and protect what's in Jack Smith's indictment. You heard a little bit of Amy Coney Barrett, which made me nervous, sort of reiterating Jack Smith's talking points that the electoral certificates represent a document or record in an official proceeding. So hopefully the court will come back with a strong resolution to that as well. But, you know, this will be also, I should have added, Special Counsel Jack Smith and his team, a black eye to him as well for bringing such a vague, untested statute and a presidential, unprecedented criminal indictment against Donald Trump.
Julie Kelly, Declassified on Substack. Please subscribe to it. Julie, we'll be talking to you a lot between now and the election. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
She really is doing fabulous work, Buck. If anybody's out there and wants to keep their eyes on all of these cases, I don't know of anybody that's working harder and giving more interesting takes than Julie right now. You can take advantage of the MyPillow $25 extravaganza sale going on right now. Great deals, perfect way to experience so many of their fantastic products. You'll find items like their MyPillows made with the all-new Giza fabric, just $25 each, or their two-pack multi-use MyPillows for just $25, or their six-pack towel sets for the same price, just $25. Maybe you'll want to try the sandals with the summer coming again. just $25. Dozens of items at the price point. Use our names, Clay and Buck, as the promo code. It's the MyPillow Extravaganza sale. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square. For these $25 deals, you'll get free shipping on orders over $75. Use the promo code Clay and Buck to access the sale. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Clay and Buck.
Keep up with Clay and Buck's campaign coverage with 24, a Sunday highlight reel from the week. Find it on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country, heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull.
He sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber, the complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, and he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave Major Turnbull a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope.
With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's severely injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders.
Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome back in. Hour number three, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, Tuesday edition. Want to say thanks to the great people at News Talk 106.3 FM down in Atlanta. They are hosting me today. I'm going to an event for Kelly Loeffler and for Governor Brian Kemp and a lot of other Georgia politicos. I'm speaking there tonight. And then, Buck, I'm getting on a late night flight and I'll be in the air going to Seattle.
Wait, before we talk about Seattle, which that's going to be fascinating.
Yes.
Are you going to tell Governor Kemp while you're in his home state your theory about how maybe Dark Horse Trump VP, you know, maybe out of nowhere all of a sudden?
I think Trump is going to win.
I just
Georgia.
Want to see. I want to know what his face is when you tell
yeah,
him
what his face looks
Trump's
like.
VP.
I think Trump is going to win Georgia by 8 points. I don't think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be like
I'm putting it on the prediction board.
Put it on the projection screen. 8 points. I think 7 or 8 points. I think it's going to be a very comfortable win in Georgia. Of all the states, if you had to ask me, which state is most likely to flip from 2020, either in favor of Democrats or in favor of Republicans, I think Georgia is going to be back in red camp. And I actually think you're going to start to see Biden spending less time and money in Georgia because the numbers out there are really bad for them in Georgia. The most recent poll has Trump up 10 in Georgia. There is no Senate race. There is no governor's race. There's nothing to motivate in-state voters for Democrats in any kind of substantial way. And you'll recall in 2022, basically every statewide candidate except Herschel Walker won by 7 or 8 points. So it wasn't just that they won. It was despite the fact that Stacey Abrams, I believe, outspent Brian Kemp, and they had a close race in 2018. He trounced her in 2022. So I appreciate the ATL for taking care of me. I'm going to be down here again in June to watch the Atlanta Braves with my kids. I can't wait. We got to wait for it. We got a great affiliate again. News Talk Extra 106.3 FM. We appreciate all of you out there listening in Atlanta. And then, Buck, I'm headed to Seattle, which is crazy town. I'm going to be speaking at a Hillsdale College event that they are doing in Seattle. So I'm going to get on, I don't know, a midnight flight basically and fly all the way to the West Coast. And I'll be doing the show Wednesday and Thursday from there. So anyway, we'll see how I do in crazy town. I haven't been to Seattle since everything fell apart with Chaz. Remember that? Like the autonomous region and everything. I mean, even for 2020 standards of crazy, people looked at Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco and said, you guys are crazy. The standard for crazy was high. Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco all exceeded it by massive amounts. So we'll see what it looks like. I haven't been to the city since, like I said, I think it was like 2018, 2019 that I was in Seattle. Beautiful place filled with a lot of crazy leftists. So we'll see how I do there. But two major legal issues that are unfolding. You just heard us talk with Julie Kelly. The analysis of whether the Jan 6 political persecutions, because I do think persecution and prosecution are intertwined in many ways here, are permissible or not under the Sarbanes-Oxley obstruction of an official proceeding standard, it seems likely that many of those convictions are going to get struck down. Maybe it'll be 5-4, maybe it'll be 6-3, maybe even get a liberal to come on, but that would come out in June. It would be a huge story because it implicates half of Jack Smith's case in Washington, D.C. It would also be a huge story, as you just heard us talking, because for years, leftists have been saying, oh, these Jan 6 insurrection cases, they're 100% legally permissible. They're necessary. We have to hold everybody accountable. What you're probably likely to hear is that there was major prosecutorial overreach. Simultaneously, they are trying to hold Trump in contempt of court in New York City, where day two of his criminal trial in the Alvin Bragg case is underway. And what we have been talking about, I think fairly on this show, Buck, since August of 22, when the Mar-a-Lago raid basically kicked into high gear the way that Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice were going to all come after Donald Trump. How is this playing in the larger political arena? What would happen if Trump got arrested? How would they even handle it? These are things that are truly unprecedented that we are continuing to break down.
Yeah, I think anybody who tells you they know where all this is going is making that up. It's just not possible. Did you want to get to the Stephen A. Smith clip?
Yeah, I want to play this because I would argue that Stephen A. Smith, very middle of the road guy. He's not a politically, from ESPN. He's going to come on the show. We're going to get him on somewhat soon. He's being more outspoken on a variety of different areas. I've done his podcast a couple of times. We had interesting conversations, but he had this to say yesterday. We've talked a lot about black men and the possibility that if you look at the polling from Wall Street Journal, maybe 30% of black men are willing to support Trump. Here's what Stephen A. Smith had to say about the cases in his hometown of New York City.
To my liberal friends out there, all you're doing is showing that you're scared you can't beat them on the issues and the merits. That's why he keeps saying it's a political campaign against me. That's why he keeps saying they can't beat me at the election, at the polls. This is the only way they could do it. And if you don't put him in jail and he still goes from being a presumptive GOP nominee to the official GOP nominee and he goes to the polls, even though he was going to whine about winning and being rigged again, you have given more fodder to that argument, which means we'll never have peace in this country. Because tens of millions of people see what extent the other side is willing to go through just to keep him out of office because they can't beat him on their own merits.
I do think this is a
a fundamental point. I mean, this is a central point of everything that we're talking about here. If what Trump did is so bad, and if it's so clear he's so awful, why is he ahead in the polls, and why are they so scared of what's going to happen in the fall? And they don't have an answer for that. And they won't process it, they won't think it through, but I think Stephen A. hits right into the center of it. It's something we've discussed here many times. The best way for there to be a referendum on Trump's behavior, whether just talking about his 4 years as president, or what you think about whether that should change because of January 6th, this is ultimately the most clear political question, right? This is about who should lead the nation according to the vote of the American people. Let the people have their say. All these efforts that they have are meant to either stop Trump entirely now. And look, he's clearly the nominee. It's not about just having him win the primary anymore, if it ever was. It's to stop him from being able to run entirely, or now I think this is what they've, shifted gears toward, just make it so it's really hard for him to win as he's running, but not based upon what people want, based upon the fact that they are rigging the system. I mean, they're rigging the election. Even if Trump wins, it will be an election that is rigged against him just based upon these legal challenges, and they can't come up with an answer. If Trump is so bad, why are you terrified that the American people are going to vote for him over Joe Biden? Like, what is the response to that? After 4 years of Trump and 4 years of Biden, Americans of voting age are likely to say, based on what we see right now, yeah, I want Trump to be president again.
It's not even just that, too, Buck. It's that they're only even willing, by and large, to bring charges in juries that are rigged in their favor. That is, political locales that overwhelmingly favor Democrats. So that's why I think one of the most difficult, and I think Stephen A. hit on it, we've been hitting on this quite a lot, that's why I think one of the most difficult questions to answer is not only why are you trying to keep him from running, why are you trying to put him in prison, it's also why are you doing these charges, why are you bringing them entirely in a jury rig to a large extent process? Because I'm not, we said this earlier, if you told me, hey, it's a 50-50 America, which I think it's fair to say that roughly it is, like everybody out there listening would have to agree. If you told me that they were going to try to bring charges against Trump to put him in prison for the rest of his life, I would still think it's an awful precedent to set in the United States, because sooner or later, somebody else will also have the same result that Trump has now. Somebody else is going to get charged as a method of lawfare. But at least if you allowed the jury to be in a jurisdiction that's 50-50, I would say, okay, like, let's see how it actually plays out. Which is why South Florida, I'm not that nervous about South Florida. I don't think that there will be a jury that is overwhelmingly made up of Trump haters. I think there's going to be a jury in New York City that just based on the numbers is likely to be made up of Trump haters. And I don't think it's crazy to think, that there are going to be people that want to see Trump put in prison for the rest of his life that are a part of this jury pool. Now, maybe some of them will say, hey, you know what? I can't fairly and impartially render justice. We already saw that happen a little bit. They'll step out. I think there's other people that will be happy to be on this jury because they want to hold Trump responsible. They want to be the deciders. And I look at this and I say, fundamentally, we can have 150 million people render a verdict on Trump's behavior, on Trump's whether or not he's able to be president, or we can have 12 in a incredibly biased jurisdiction. And to me, the 150 million is the answer. No matter how much you trust juries, do you want 12 people trying to decide who can be president, or do you want 150 million?
It does go to the ultimate point, I think, about the mental instability of many of the Democrats that are pushing for this, or the emotional and ideological surrender that they've had, right? They just, whatever the anti-Trumpism demands, they will go for. I mean, the fact that Alvin Bragg has turned that one preposterous charge, it's worth everybody knowing, you know, or keeping this in mind. I think it's 34, right? It's a 34 felony count indictment. It was one thing we're talking about, and he's charging it 34 times, which is specifically against prosecutorial guidelines. You're not supposed to, you know, if someone hands you drugs, and then you say, hold on, I'm tying my shoe, and you hand it back to them, and then they hand the drugs back to you, you know, you don't charge these as separate drug possession crimes, right? You're not supposed to do that because it's obviously unjust. That's exactly what Alvin Bragg is doing. He's saying, oh, well, they like Xeroxed it or they emailed it or whatever. That every time we're going to charge that as an additional felony. And you have to wonder that any Democrat who supports the prosecution going on in New York City is also telling you that in America today, it would be more just, not preferable for, you know, what you think the politics of the country should be. It would be more just for Donald Trump to be in prison for years and not be able to run, although I think he would still run from prison. That's a whole other conversation. That's insane. But it'd be more just for Donald Trump to sit in a prison cell over a clerical error, over a Stormy Daniels payoff or whatever, hush money or whatever they're calling it, than it would to just allow the American people to say, do I or do I not want Donald Trump to be president for four more years? That's it. That's insane. I mean, this is the decision that we're being faced with as a country, or rather the decision they want to deny us as a country based upon what exactly? And the moment you dig into it, Clay, it's all just so flimsy and underhanded.
It's 100% what it is. And I wonder how many people that are in general not paying that much attention are ultimately coming to that same conclusion. If the guy's so bad, how come they can't just let everybody go vote? Let the American people decide whether Trump is able to or not able to be the next president of the United States. That's how democracy works.
Yeah. 800-282-2882. We'll get some of your calls on this issue coming up in the back half of this hour. You know, look, people think mortgage rates are extremely high. And look, they are higher than they were just a few years ago. And we know who's responsible for inflation over the past 3 years' time and the rise in interest rates as they try to combat that they created. But by comparison, when you put mortgage rates side by side with credit card interest rates, I mean, mortgage rates are far lower. Mortgage rates are much lower than the average credit card rate, which is about 22%. So look, if you're a homeowner, refinancing with American Financing can help you pay off that credit card debt and lower your monthly expenses. And the mortgage interest is tax deductible. They're saving homeowners just like you an average of $854 a month. American Financing's salary-based mortgage consultants will show you how much you can save every month with no upfront fees and no obligation. You may even close in as fast as 10 days and possibly delay two mortgage payments, giving you greater savings upfront. Call American Financing today, 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109, or visit AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Who's there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is severely injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans and who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families.
The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America in so many ways. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institutes, educating kids in K through 12 grades to help our nation keep its vow to never forget.
More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
We're so fortunate in this country to have a military that's 100% volunteer. That's why Pure Talk proudly supports America's Warrior Partnership and their mission to prevent veteran suicide. You can help this great cause simply by choosing a wireless company who shares your values. Switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk's 5G network. for just $20 a month.
Go to puretalk.com/buck to make the switch. That's puretalk.com/buck for superior cell phone service and to help a vet in need.